May it please the Court. My name is Oli R. Tostanilski from Hualien Law Offices, and I represent the petitioner Cho Hong Zhang. In this case, the BIA erred as a matter of law when it abused its discretion and found that there were no changed circumstances in China regarding persecution of dissidents. In this decision, it says the following. We note that the respondent's own documents reflect that the Chinese government's persecution of pro-democracy activists has been ongoing and has occurred prior to the date of the respondent's last hearing in 2004. We are not persuaded that the documents submitted with the respondent's motion show material change in country conditions in China, even taking into account the government's actions towards political activists who use various forms of media, to include the Internet. Okay, obviously the BIA did not explain how it came to this decision, plus it's obvious that it did not consider all the evidence in this case. Among the background materials in this case was a report from Human Rights Watch, the World Report for 2007, which says, quote, human rights conditions in China deteriorated significantly in 2006, end of quote. It stated that some of the controls on dissidents included unofficial house arrest, incommunicado confinement in distant areas, in distant police-run guest houses, and custody in police stations. The report further stated that the Great Firewall of China restricts not only access to the Internet but also to other forms of media. And then it stated, quote, during 2006, the Chinese government and Communist Party moved aggressively to plug the walls, holes, and to punish transgressors. Okay, the report further stated that the Chinese Communist Party and the government authorities grew less tolerant of newspaper exposés of official corruption, rural protests, suspect land deals, and legal misconduct. It mentioned that journalists, bloggers, webmasters, and editors who sent out news of China outside of China or who merely debated politically sensitive ideas among themselves faced punishments ranging from sudden unemployment to long prison terms. And this background information from Human Rights Watch was corroborated by the country report from the U.S. State Department for the year 2006. It mentioned there was a deterioration in the human rights record. It mentioned an increased number of high-level profile cases regarding political dissidents. And it mentioned that the government tightened restrictions on freedom of speech and the press, including the Internet.
No, this is not something new in China. And the board here found that she got extremely involved in the United States in the political, whatever you want to call it, writing articles and other things, correct?
Yes, China.
CDP or whatever it is.
And yeah, the China Democracy
very,
Party.
Very active. So she's getting a lot of attention, maybe on purpose, to make herself definitely persona non grata in China. And the board says, look, you've got to change personal circumstances with all of your activity, but there's nothing changed in China.
Okay, Your Honor, we submit that in this case there are both. There is a change in personal circumstances, her activities here in the United States and the China Democracy Party, but the reason I've cited the background information is to show that the situation in China regarding dissidents has deteriorated and why it's important that there are stronger controls on what's placed on the Internet and more severe punishment is that in this case, the petitioner published two articles on the Internet, on the website, in which she criticized the Chinese government. Specifically, she criticized the large-scale prevalent corruption there, and she criticized the lack of economic, social, as well as civil rights there among the people. And in both articles, she called for a change in government. that the government by the Chinese Communist Party be brought to an end. And the BIA simply dismissed this by saying that they find no change in country conditions. They find
no
material change.
What's new? The China, some could argue, if anything, it's a little more lenient because of the economic prosperity it was experiencing. But no question, somebody stands up in China and yells all this, they're thrown in prison. That's simple. And it's been that way for a long time, unfortunately, but that's a fact.
Okay,
so what's the changed condition that...
Other
than there's an internet now and they can find them easier.
Okay, the change is that it's worse. We're not arguing that this persecution never existed before. It did exist before. It's been a bad situation for a long time. We're arguing that a bad situation has gotten worse. That's the material change in circumstances. Not that all of a sudden there's persecution, but that it has gotten worse. And the reason we focused on the internet is because in this case, the petitioner has published articles on the internet.
But of course, the cynic could say, well, when someone gets over here, it's real easy to get an article on the internet, and that should insulate you from having to return. I say that's a cynical view, but what the heck? If it works for one, why not everybody?
Well, Your Honor, that may be the case, but the fact remains that such a person would still be persecuted, whatever the motives were for putting the article on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
The person would still face persecution. And we submit that in this case, there is a prima facie case for asylum, but which the board never actually even discussed. But we argue that the reason this case should be remanded to the board is because they never fully considered all the evidence.
Well, they got it out of time and all that stuff.
Yes. This motion is untimely, but one exception is if there's a change in country conditions. And the board basically found that there was no change in country conditions. That's why there was no exception to the rule on timeliness. And our argument is that they abused their discretion, thus it was an error of law, in not fully considering all the evidence. At the very least, they should have explained why they came to this result. There's no explanation. This is a very terse opinion with a conclusion, and it doesn't even provide an adequate basis for this court to review its decision, whether it actually exercised its discretion according to law. So we submit that the BIA erred as a matter of law by abusing its discretion and ask this court to remand this case back to the board. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Smith.
Good morning. May it please the court, Lyle Smith on behalf of the Attorney General. As we have argued in our brief, and as this court is aware, under this court's controlling decision of Kukana and Huang and Al Johnson, but under Kukana, the court lacks jurisdiction to review the board's decision here, denying petitioner's motion to reopen. As this court is aware, in Kukana, the court has held that it lacks jurisdiction under Section 242A2B2 of the Act to review an agency decision denying a motion to reopen because that decision constitutes a discretionary judgment under that statutory provision, unless the petition raises a constitutional claim or a question of law under Section 242A2D, which was created under the Real ID Act. Given this court's decision in Kukana, the court here need not address the underlying merits of Zhang's case here or the board's decision denying his motion to reopen because it constitutes a discretionary determination. Furthermore, in this case, petitioner Zhang has not presented any colorable constitutional claims or colorable question of law in his brief to the court. Instead, as petitioner's counsel has self-stated, petitioner here is arguing that the board abuses discretion, and that's what the only question, only claim being raised here is that the board abused discretion by not properly weighing the evidence or properly considering certain pieces of evidence, although the board did. However, that is not a constitutional claim. It's certainly not a question of law. He's arguing, petitioner here is not raising any question that the board misinterpreted the statute, misapplied the law, that the board made any type of legal error or constitutional error. And I think in this court's decision in Wang, I believe this court stated very well in that case, in that decision, this court stated that the facts that the board finds and the reasons that it gives en route to exercising its discretion to grant or deny a petition to reopen a removal proceeding, as in this case, and the discretionary decision itself cannot be reexamined by a court, whether for clear error, lack of substantial evidence, abuse of discretion, or any other formulation of a ground for reversing an administrative decision. All the court can decide is whether the board committed an error of law. Here, there's no issue with regard to, there's no claim that the board erred, made a legal error, or any constitutional claim. There's no argument that the board misinterpreted a statute, regulation, or a constitutional provision. The only question here is whether the board abused discretion in considering the evidence petition Zhang presented in support of his motion to reopen.
Now, in they allege a change in country conditions, which may not apply here, but where if there's, is that considered one of the reasons why for allowing a petition to reopen, if there really is a, let's call it a serious change in country conditions? Way back when we had these immigration cases in the inverse, when the Soviet Union went out of business and a lot of people were no longer under that, there was a big change in country conditions, which frankly caused people to have to go back instead of fleeing the communist persecution. Now, in inverting that, if there is a change in country conditions where it gets a whole lot worse, is that a valid reason to consider reopening? Is that a question of law, or what is it come under one of those exceptions?
Well, to answer your question first, yes, that would be an exception to an untimely motion to reopen if the petitioner can show a change, fundamentally change country conditions in his native country. But no, that would not be necessarily a legal question. It's certainly not a constitutional claim because that goes to the facts.
It would still be a fact-finding thing.
That's a fact-finding thing.
Review under that circumstance.
Right. And right. In this case, the petitioner is arguing only that the board abused discretion in finding that there were no changed country conditions. The board failed. She's arguing that the board failed to consider evidence in support of the motion, and that is not a legal question. That's not a constitutional claim. It's an abuse of discretion. And furthermore, even assuming arguendo that this court had jurisdiction, notwithstanding Kukana, if the court had jurisdiction to review the denial of motion to reopen, the board correctly found that Zhang's claim that she should have been permitted to file a successive asylum application based on changed personal circumstances is foreclosed by this court's decision in Cheng Cheng versus Gonzalez, which came was a decision from last year, which held that the late filing of a motion to reopen to apply for asylum cannot be excused based on changed personal circumstances. And that's a fundamental difference between changed country conditions and changed personal circumstances. What we are seeing, as the board found here, petitioner has presented evidence of changed personal circumstances, the birth of her child in 2000, of a son in 2004 in the United States, and then she claimed at the time that she was pregnant with a second child due at that time on November 19, 2007. The board correctly found that those were changed personal circumstances, changes of her own making after she came to the United States, after she was ordered removed. The board correctly found that under Cheng Cheng, this court says in Cheng Cheng, that that was changed personal circumstance, which is not the same thing as changed country conditions. The alien must establish fundamentally changed conditions in her home country, not changes of her own personal changes of her own making after she came to the United States. And just to add, again, assuming that the court had jurisdiction, the board correctly found that petitioner's claim that she was a participant of the CDP, China's Democratic Party, did not establish fundamentally changed country conditions. Again, the board correctly found that those were changed personal circumstances. She voluntarily participated in those activities herself after she had arrived in the United States. And even assume, and furthermore, that there's not sufficient evidence of changed country conditions because, as it has been noted, there's always been evidence of that political dissidents in China have been subject to difficulties in China. That's not changed country conditions. It's certainly not fundamentally changed conditions. And at best, she may have demonstrated incremental change, if any, and that's certainly not fundamental change in country conditions. But again, just going back to my first point, we would argue that the court need not address the merits of the board's decision because under Kukana it lacks jurisdiction and the petitioner has not raised a legal question or constitutional claim under the Real ID Act to warrant jurisdiction. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
Your Honor, I just want to state briefly that we disagree with the respondent's interpretation of this court's decision in Huang. In Huang, this court specifically stated that a question of law could be an abuse of discretion or the failure to consider factors acknowledged to be material to such an exercise of discretion. So this court does have jurisdiction. Thank you.
Both counsel, the case will be taken under advisement.